You're listening to News New Mexico, where our business is New Mexico's business.
Launch control, this is Houston. We are go for launch.
Hold on to your lug nuts. It's time for an overhaul.
Turn it up, son.
I'm your huckleberry.
I don't give jobs, I hire men. You won't give me anything, and I won't give you anything.
Collision, sir!
Whoa, relax. We're not even moving.
There's no crying in baseball!
We are News New Mexico. It's Tuesday, November 29th, 2011. Jim Spence is here. I'm Michael Swicker. Jerry Harden is our producer, director, website, newsnm.com. In studio, it's our great pleasure to have Heath Houselman. He has got nmpolitics.net. He is our snarkiest friend today.
Snarky.
He came up with this word, snarky. No, you hadn't seen it very much. And we have
I love that word.
We have just gone crazy, crazy snarky. Now,
it's one of my favorite words.
Where did you get that word?
I couldn't tell you.
Oh, this man has a huge vocabulary.
I've been using that word for years, probably. I don't know. It doesn't show up on my site very often. I use it verbally. But when I read the Secretary of State's report, that's the word that fits.
Snarky. All right, so set the table. The Secretary of State, when elected, was commanded by federal law to do an audit of driver's licenses and voter registrations that all 50 of the state secretaries of state had to do that, right?
And she did it without involving the public, without involving the county clerks. But with involving the Martinez administration, another Republican.
The report, if that be the case, should favor the Republicans.
And it's pretty. It takes some shots at the Bernalillo County Clerk, a Democrat, and a potential Durant opponent in 3 years. And it includes some pretty snarky comments about anybody who would challenge the report's findings, including bloggers,
referring
to me, and maybe others, but definitely to me.
Snarky. Okay, so I take it as sarcastic.
Sarcastic discounting. It's a good word.
So let's go back. I don't know if you were listening to us in the previous segment.
I was.
But we did have Steve Allen, Common Cause, on. He referenced your column, and he talked about voter ID. It's the position of New Mexico Common Cause that requiring voters to present a photo ID will prevent qualified voters from voting.
Sure.
And how would that happen?
Let's ask this. You got a little meter inside you. Whips to one side and you say, oh, that's really true.
Right.
Or whips to the other side and you say, I don't think that's true. Do you have a first glance
This
feeling?
One's in the middle.
The
first time I heard that claim, I thought, yeah, whatever. I have to show an ID to, you know, pay for groceries with my debit card, you know.
Sure.
And then Steve Pierce, of all people, held a hearing in Las Cruces on voter fraud, and I sat through it, and for the first time I heard somebody get up and talk about Native Americans who live in extremely rural areas without infrastructure, they don't have cars, among other things, you know, don't have access to health care, who don't have IDs and don't have a way to get an easy way to get a government-issued ID, any kind of photo ID. The Navajo Nation, for example,
doesn't go out
and issue them.
They don't drive cars.
Yeah. They can vote by mail. They can request a form and they can vote by mail, but they don't physically have a way to go get an ID. And they don't have much use for an ID. They don't cash checks, as you all said in the last. They don't participate in a lot of society, but they're still American citizens who have the right to vote. So, you know, when I hear a claim like that, I say it's somewhere in the middle. Because people who say it would disenfranchise voters also complain about, for example, college students who move a lot and their ID may not have a current address. Well, get a current address. You're a college student. You can do it. That one doesn't get me at all. But some Native Americans who live in rural areas, that one, you know, I think it's a stumbling block that needs to be overcome if the state were to get serious about a photo voter ID law, which it's not.
Does the 14th Amendment preclude us from just saying if you are a registered member of a tribe, the photo requirement's not required, but everybody else. But would the 14th Amendment say to you, no, you got to treat all American citizens equal?
Well, I would certainly, if I was a college student, file a lawsuit saying you can't exempt them and not exempt me.
Okay, because my point would be all Democrats fight one side, all Republicans fight the other. It would seem there's a dog in the fight that favors one or the other. If you that if you require IDs, you will favor the Republicans. If you don't, you will favor the Democrats. Do you feel there is a favor there?
College students probably tend to be Democrats more often than Republicans. Native Americans certainly do. The elderly certainly. When you're talking about issues like Medicaid and things like that, they may more often vote Democrat. So yes, I think this is more of a partisanly divided battle than a practical discussion about a serious policy issue.
What's what it'd be now
on both sides.
So how important is it to vote? Not as important as cashing a check.
I think voting is one of the most important things that it's not just a right, it's a responsibility.
So what about somebody like John Fund, who wrote Stealing Elections, How Voter Fraud Threatens Our Democracy? Is he just completely off base? Or is Steve Allen completely off base? Because Steve Allen basically said it's a contrived issue.
We don't know is the answer I would give. And the reason at this point is because Diana Duran blew it.
She did not give you a definitive statement.
She had a mandate from voters. Yeah. She won overwhelmingly, the first Republican Secretary of State in more than 80 years, with several Democratic county clerks endorsing her. The county clerks honestly thought, Mary Herrera's been a nightmare. Most of us are Democrats, but we'll get Diana Duran in there and she'll be better. Not all of the Democratic county clerks endorsed her. I'm sure they didn't all vote for her, but I think at least 8 of them did, if I remember right. What she needed to do then was bring the team of elections officials in the state together. This is such a partisan issue that if we're going to have a real review and get a real answer to this question, we need Democrats and Republicans both involved in the investigation. We need transparency. We need the public to have access to it, which she has not allowed. Then we get a real answer. The Bernalillo County Clerk, who's a Democrat, forwarded 1,600 names, I think, to law enforcement in 2008 as possible voter fraud, voter registration fraud. The FBI declined to do anything with it after looking into it. But, Democrats and Republicans alike acknowledge there is some level of a problem. There's no question that voter fraud happens at least occasionally. We had a conviction in this county of a Sunland Park judge and his wife who lived in El Paso, registered to vote at a business in Sunland Park, Santa Teresa, I think, and voted both places. That is a felony.
That's a felony right
now. How widespread is it? We haven't seen evidence that it is totally widespread.
14 minutes past the hour, we're talking with Heath Houseman. He has a political blog, nmpolitics.net.
So, Heath, I'm reading your story here, and you say the document read more like a commentary than an investigative report.
Yep.
It tossed out a bunch of impressive numbers that may very well be accurate. 105 registered voters may not be U.S. citizens. This is according to the Secretary of State.
Right.
19 of them have voted in New Mexico elections. 2,608 voting records use a Social Security number that's assigned to two individuals. 6 use a Social Security number that's assigned to 3 people. There are 641 dead people still on the voter rolls, but no supporting documents.
Right.
You need to see those supporting documents.
I've been trying to get them
saying.
For months, and the Secretary of State has violated the Inspection of Public Records Act by not releasing them. But there's also a level of questioning the Secretary of State didn't go into. Mm-hmm. 2,600 duplicate Social Security numbers, mm-hmm. and a pessimist would look at that and say that's voter fraud. But there's no process for taking somebody off the voter rolls in one county if they move to another county, for example, and register to vote, unless they go to the old county and tell them, take my name off the rolls. So how many of those 2,600 people are just people who've moved to a different county? I don't know.
If you saw the same names, you would know it's probably
a significant number, and there's no fraud there. It's just a lack of a system.
Bookkeeping.
Yeah, a lack of a system to take them off in one county when they move to another.
Have you been able to get through to the Secretary of State's office and ask questions?
Yeah. I've talked to them.
And what do they say when you ask them for the documents?
No.
They say no.
They started with it's an ongoing investigation, which is arguably not a valid reason to withhold records ever. But if it's ever valid, it's when it's a law enforcement investigation, and the Secretary of State is not. They ended up after several more excuses with we compared the voter registration records with driver's license records. Driver's license records are protected under law from release. Therefore, if we gave you the voter records, you'd know which driver's license records we looked at, and that would be illegal, which is garbage.
What's going to happen?
I don't know.
I mean,
nothing's going to happen.
You filed a protest, so what happens?
Nothing.
Oh.
Their answer is no.
Oh.
And so then they cite those reasons, and if you want to get a lawyer and fight it, you can fight it.
Yeah, and the reality is we needed a serious investigation. We needed a definitive answer on how widespread are things like just errors when someone moves from one county to another, how widespread is actual fraud. And we're not going to get it, so we're not going to get any real pressure on the legislature to take any action.
So why isn't the Albuquerque Journal, Santa Fe, New Mexican, Las Cruces Sun News, and the rest of those newspapers not joining you? You used to work at two of those organizations.
Yeah, you need some pull here,
I don't
man.
Know. I can't speak for the rest of the media. I can only speak for myself.
Come on, defend those rascals.
Yeah, now that's why we have him here. He does have his fingers on.
We have sent emails to the Secretary of State's office and asked them to come on the show, and we have gotten deafening silence.
And I will say this. The Secretary of State's office, it's funny because you get a Republican into office who runs on lower government, less government, and then they get in there and say, we don't have enough resources to do this right. Rearrange things then. But they could have had the clerks help them. Right. This could have been a better investigation. Okay.
So, Heath, when we come back, we'll ask you, you thinking of running for Secretary of State? No, I know he doesn't.
No.
We are News New Mexico, 18 minutes past the hour. We'll be right back.
If you're a college student, you've most likely noticed that your school has a club for just about everything. Heck, there's probably even a juggling club. At Wells Fargo, we're with you when you wish there were a club to help you juggle your finances. Our College Combo account gives you a free checking account, savings account, and check card. Hey, we're not the wildest club on campus, just a really beneficial one. Call, click, or stop by today. Wells Fargo. Together, we'll go far. Wells Fargo Bank, N.A., member FDIC.
Jenkins, I need coordinates now!
Captain, 2 nautical miles and closing fast. This blip here is Sonic's new Kickin' Coney, a premium beef hot dog topped with chili and crispy onions.
Yes! And that's the bacon and blue dog with crispy bacon and blue cheese dressing. But what is this triangle that they're forming?
Sir, the toppings appear to be the perfect triangulation of saucy, melty, and crispy.
Are you sure?
Yes!
Ramming speed!
Introducing 2 new additions to Sonic's $1.99 premium beef hot dog family, the Kickin' Coney and the bacon and blue dog. For a limited time, only at participating Sonic drive-ins. See menu for details. This is how you Sonic.
Red Hawk Golf Club is now open. On the northern edge of Las Cruces, Red Hawk features everything you want when enjoying a day of golf. From the picturesque views of the Oregon Mountains to a challenging layout, Red Hawk has it all. Red Hawk was designed by legendary architect Ken Dye, who has laid out many well-known golf projects all over the world. With distance ranging from 5,500 to 7,500 yards, water coming into play on 8 holes to go along with 76 bunkers, there is no better option to play golf in the Southwest than Red Hawk. The new course is set on 200 acres, including 100 acres of turf, 50 acres of planted native grasses, and 50 more of natural desert. Become a member and enjoy unlimited rounds of golf, unlimited use of carts, and special privileges. For more information, visit golflascruces.com or call 575-373-8100. Once again, that's 575-373-8100.
Hey, Jim, we're on break.
We are. Yeah, I did.
That's right. I said, let's go to break, and we went to break. We're just sitting here. We're talking about Charlie Munger among ourselves. He had 6 confidence-related tendencies that he wrote about in his book.
Yeah. I'm going to tie 2 together, one that's not actually on that list. One. The first one's called liking and loving, and the other one is called disliking and hating. Now, these are real, real simple concepts, but I'll go to the thinking errors after I describe them. The first one being liking and loving. He says, human beings will seek to be liked and loved, and will tend to ignore the faults of those they love or the faults of those that love them. And that's counterintuitive sometimes, but usually intuitive. The idea being you're going to have a bias. You see biases with people towards their children. You'll see people ignore the faults of their
children. My child would not have done that.
My child would not have done that. And you'll see it in political parties. Oh, the Democrats.
A Democrat couldn't have done that.
A Republican stands for goodness and wholesomeness and could never engage in that kind of behavior. Those are biases.
This is a tendency that isn't good.
And the same thing applies on the other side, disliking, hating. Human beings are extremely prone to irrational dislike and hatred and will tend to ignore the virtues of those they hate. And you see this all the time in politics. And it's the anti-best practices concept that, Michael, that we're kind of fighting here on News New Mexico. It's the idea that you have to be very, very careful about the tendency to like and to ignore faults or the tendency to hate and to ignore virtues because those are thinking errors.
Okay, astronaut, you're up. You'll be meeting with Wish Kid Brandon.
Roger, Brandon.
His wish is to see a space shuttle launch.
All systems are go. We are clear for liftoff.
This year, more than 27,000 children will be diagnosed with a life-threatening medical condition.
And, cowboy?
Yes, ma'am.
You'll be meeting with Shayla at a dude ranch in San Antonio.
Let's saddle up.
Some will miss school. Some will miss time with their family and friends.
Princess, are you here?
Oh, yes. Thank you so much for rescuing me from that evil witch.
Juliana wishes for a princess-themed room makeover.
That sounds magical.
But with your help, the Make-A-Wish Foundation can lift their spirits and give them a special kind of hope.
Pirate!
Yar!
You're up for Isaac's wish.
Aye, aye, Captain.
The wishes of thousands of children are waiting to come true.
You can help make my wish happen. Visit wish.org today.
You're listening to News New Mexico, where New Mexico's business comes first.
There's no one here but Smith, Wesson, and me. I bet you're dying to hang up and not leave a message. But dying ain't much of a living, boy. So go ahead. Make my day.
That doesn't sound like Susana Martinez, but, you know, that's her shooting there.
Don't mess with her.
We are News New Mexico. I play that way too often. He goes, that's when I do. It's Tuesday, November 29th. If you're just joining us, we're talking with Heath Houseman. He has nmpolitics.net. You just went flying this last week. Took an infant, and the three of you, you say you skated right through the TSA, no problems?
Yeah. It was easy.
Wow. Did you opt for the pat down or did you just go to the scan?
You know, I went through the body scan. I thought about not.
Yeah.
I don't like it, but we were in a hurry.
Well.
So what are you going to do?
You surrender. You surrender.
You know, flying with a baby for the first time.
Now, did you present a photo ID when you flew or did you just say, my name is Heath Houseman?
No. I said, my name is Heath Houseman, and they said, okay, go ahead. No,
I'll bet.
I'm
not
kidding.
A chance. Yeah, you say that twice, and I'll throw you in jail.
No, I'll say this, Jim. It is a valid point that we have to have an ID for a number of things in our society.
Mm-hmm.
So people who say, why not for voting? You know, I say valid point. On the flip side, when people say, what about Native Americans who don't do all those other things? I say, valid point.
So let's get
people sit down in a room and seriously consider this issue instead of fighting a partisan battle.
Would you support not where they can't actually see into the voting booths, but going down the hallway when people come in, walk up, and a camera that records, internet-type camera, records, and it's recorded off-site so that you've got it, and you hear the person come up and say, I'm Michael Swickard.
Right.
And so then when I go to vote, and I say, wait a second, I didn't vote, they could actually roll it back and see somebody come in and see who it was that walked in and said, I'm Michael Swickard, when it wasn't me.
All right. You want to know if I would support that?
Would you support that?
I don't know. I'm not prepared to take a position on that issue, but I will say this. I think that
Yeah.
I think that that's the debate that needs to be had, because photo voter ID is not going to happen in New Mexico currently or in the near future.
Well, I mean,
we don't have a climate where that's even an option. So people who want something like that should be bringing up proposals for cameras or something like that.
I've heard people say that they do not want to be photographed. Right. And I say, so you don't go to Walmart or Albertsons, huh?
As a journalist, right, that's true. Again, just like having to pay with a credit card showing an ID. But, you know, as a journalist, I will say that people get nervous when I show up at a polling place and take a picture because I don't know who I am. And there are just like there are occasional examples of actual voter fraud in America, there are also occasional examples of people showing up at polls and intimidating voters to try to stop them from voting. So again, I say good arguments on both sides. Let's have a real discussion instead of a partisan fight.
Well, that's all we ever have is a partisan fight. You said we don't have the conditions for photo voter ID. You're right. We got majorities of Democrats in the House and the Senate. That's why we don't have the environment where we're going
to
get it.
We also don't have Democrats and Republicans who want to admit that there are some good points on the other side and sit down in a room and actually look for solutions.
But ultimately, there is an override here. You have to make a decision. Is the tiny sliver exception of the Native American situation override the overall need for voter integrity? Is that which you have to make a choice?
Well, right now our choice is the law we have on the books.
That is the choice that the Democratic majority has made for years after year after year.
That's correct.
But we did make a choice. We are making a choice.
We have a representative form of government. They voted that way. Unless we want to change those representatives.
There you go.
We are News New Mexico. It's 28 minutes past the hour. More with Heath Houseman when we get back.
New Mexico has rich reserves of natural gas and oil that benefit New Mexico in many ways. The oil and gas industry provides reliable energy that helps us to reduce our dependence on foreign oil. The industry also supports over 26,000 high-paying jobs. And get this, New Mexico's oil and gas industry pays over $6 million in taxes and other revenues to New Mexico's state and local governments every day. That was nearly $2.2 billion in 2010. These dollars pay for our teachers, build our public schools, and fund our universities. And communities across New Mexico benefit whether or not you have oil and gas in your area. With continued access to state, public, and private land, the oil and gas industry can continue to grow while protecting our environment for the benefit of New Mexico and the benefit of all of us. Learn more about New Mexico's oil and gas industry at www.nmoga.org.
What do these athletic departments have in common? How about the University of Alabama Crimson Tide and the University of Washington Huskies? The Florida Gators and the Texas Longhorns, or the Louisiana State Tigers and New Mexico State Aggies? They all use sports accessories for their screen printing and embroidering needs. If these athletic departments use sports accessories, then you can too. Sports Accessories handles screen printing and embroidering for big universities and hundreds of little league teams as well. Visit the website at sportsaccessories.biz. Again, sportsaccessories, one word, .biz. Sports Accessories, located in Las Cruces, produces screen printing and embroidering for any occasion, sports-related or not. When it comes to screen printing and embroidering, you need to check out Sports Accessories. Call 575-526-2417 to speak to a screen printing and embroidering expert. That number again is 575-526-2417.
Hey, it's break time. I'm Michael Swickard. We got Jim Spence here, and I got nothing else to do. Maybe we should think and talk. So, Charlie Munger had some tendencies. There's one that's called excessive self-regard.
Yeah, that's.
I don't know that we should touch this.
No, I'm glad you and I don't suffer from excessive self-regard. So he, you know, what Munger does in the Poor Charlie's Almanac, which is basically his autobiography, is he talks about the 25 psychological human tendencies that he has observed, and the point here is thinking errors, cognitive mistakes that people make. And, you know, one of the things that Munger and Buffett have done in combination is they've created the greatest, most successful investing machine in human history. And so what these principles involve are, okay, this is how you can get in trouble. This is how you can make a thinking error. Well, excessive self-regard is probably the most fundamental. That would be, you could describe that a number of ways, Michael. You could call it overconfidence. You could call it
arrogance,
ego, whatever. Excessive self-regard. You see it, I think, most prominently in senators, believe it or not. There are only 100 senators, presidents as well. But what's amazing, you see it in Hollywood stars. These tend to be people who are around people where they're just being the subject of adoration all the time. You see,
doesn't happen to me.
Yeah, it doesn't happen to me either. I get a great dose of humility from my spouse of 30-some years every night when I get home. But that actually hasn't cured my excessive self-regard anyway. But that is a huge, huge error. And Munger says, caution it in yourself and be wary, particularly when you see a management team where excessive self-regard is a problem.
Smoking a cigarette takes 11 minutes off your life. But what if each one stole 11 hours or 11 days? What if you lost more, a foot, a leg, even your life? You're saying, no way. Not so fast. See, smoking is one of the leading causes of peripheral arterial disease. Often called clogged arteries in the legs, PAD makes you up to 6 times more likely to die from heart disease or stroke. PAD is also the leading cause of foot or leg amputation. Symptoms can include cramping in your legs when you walk, but most people don't even know they have it. If you're over 50 and you smoke, put down the butt and pick up the phone. Talk to your doctor about getting tested for PAD. For more information and a free heart and soul kit, call 1-866-PAD-INFO or visit PADcoalition.org. A message from the Peripheral Arterial Disease Coalition.
You're listening to News New Mexico, where the search for best public policies and practices never ends.
I tell you, I don't get no respect. No respect at all.
That's Heath. He gets no respect. No respect at all. Heath Houseman.
That's okay.
This is News New Mexico for Tuesday, November 29th. Heath, we got almost a complete another year between now and Election Day.
Yep.
I'm seeing really funny commercials. There's a commercial, Mitt versus Mitt,
right,
that points out when he said one thing and then he said something else. You think that's going to catch on so that all the candidates, when they talk out of both sides of their mouth, that Mitt versus Mitt commercial will get a few more of those?
I think that one will become a classic.
It's a classic.
Others will copy it.
Yeah.
I think it's noteworthy, to say the least, that we're running general election ads before the primary is over. You know, the Obama campaign, right before Thanksgiving, sent out a fact sheet on Mitt Romney's flip-flopping on guns.
Yeah.
And they sent it on background, as in, don't attribute it to us, but I got it, which means hundreds, thousands of reporters got it across the country. So,
I mean, you're not in that little tiny circle?
You can't send something on background to that many people. I mean, it just doesn't work. And I thought at the time, what are you doing? Are you trying to tear this guy down because you want to run against somebody else and you hope he doesn't win the nomination? Are you already running in the general election like he's won it?
I think they want somebody else.
I think they do too. Mitt Romney versus Barack Obama is honestly two moderates who have similar stances, at least historically, in their records on health care and some other things. And Obama wants someone he can contrast himself with better, I think.
So you think he wants Newt?
I'd want to run against Newt.
Yeah.
Hey, I've always been faithful to my wife. That's their nominee.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to run that
ad. I don't know if you remember that Ted Kennedy gave this speech for Mike
Dukakis.
Mm-hmm. And so he decided to get cute with him. Yeah. And he said, with the Iran-Contra affair, and they had all this stuff going on. Where was George H.W. Bush? Where was George Bush? And he repeated it like, and it wasn't a couple hours. There's all these people with these big T-shirts that said, he was sober and home with his own wife.
Right. I mean,
Dad, this didn't work out, Dad.
You talk about religious conservatives who elected and reelected George W. Bush, having the choice between someone they really don't like and someone who, you know, they really don't like. If they don't vote, Barack Obama's chances of being reelected go up exponentially.
So you think Obama has a good chance to beat Romney?
No.
I'm talking about Newt Gingrich.
Newt.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
I don't know. I mean, frankly, I think an obvious candidate for the Republicans hasn't risen to the top of the pack because there isn't an obvious superstar. And Obama is the Democrats' obvious superstar. So the Republicans haven't yet figured out who, if anyone, can beat Obama.
Well, one of the things to point out was, when it appeared that Ronald Reagan was rising to, you know, he came very close in 76. Mm-hmm. And then it looked like he was going to get over the top. He was going to beat George Bush, the elder, right, for the nominations. They were dancing and singing in the White House because all the advisors said, this loon has said so many things that contradictory. We're going to really. And it turned out the American public, they liked Ronald Reagan, and Jimmy Carter got swept out of office.
Right.
So, Heath, what do you make of Senators Bingaman and Udall joining Steve Pierce and writing a letter to Ken Salazar opposing the listing of the sand dunes lizard for the endangered species?
I don't know. I mean,
what does that mean to you?
It doesn't. It's noteworthy.
I mean, what? Where's that coming from?
You know,
Thing you know, they're going to say it goes good with teriyaki sauce.
They will. Yeah. That would be especially noteworthy.
Yeah, I
put that in the top slot on my
only
website.
We say that here.
Yes. Now, you know, the only thing about that is the fact it does allow them to reverse their position and say, upon further review, we've decided. And so it's almost like you'll see in the legislature people who will vote one way so that they can bring it back and,
you know, and. As far you're talking about two liberals on conservation issues and one very conservative who don't often, if hardly ever, see eye to eye. But as Steve Pierce's people have so often pointed out to me, he did once vote for a wilderness proposal for 10,000 acres or something in the middle of New Hampshire, I think it was, in the middle of nowhere where there was no cities around. And they point that out to say he's not totally opposed to wilderness. The statement I had been making was that he is ideologically opposed to it. And they said, well, not quite. So, you know, on the flip side,
maybe, he was a one percenter about wilderness.
Yeah, and so certainly I think Bingaman and Udall getting on board with that position is noteworthy in the way that Steve Pierce voting for a wilderness bill would be noteworthy.
So, all right, here's another one for you to try on for size. This is out of BET.com. A new discrimination allegation happening in New Mexico right now is scary. And it goes on to talk about a group of black pastors in Albuquerque chapter of the NAACP charging the University of New Mexico with discriminating against African Americans. What do you make of that?
I don't know about that one. And I haven't read anything about it.
They had an interesting thing. They said University of New Mexico, the second largest university in New Mexico. And you go, oh, they hadn't figured out that by far UNM is the largest university.
Yeah.
They say they have created a university administrators have created a racially hostile environment for black faculty members, students, and the staff.
Hmm. What specific allegations?
I don't know. I have to go read up on that.
I
don't know what to make of that.
And I know nothing about it, so I hope this isn't about that they fired Mike Loxley.
Huh.
I hope not too.
Yeah.
He was just losing.
Oh, sure, 2-26, pick, without giving the guy a chance.
Yeah. All right, so now let's pick his brain since he's there is people who say they think that Joe Biden's out, that it's going to be Hillary as the VP. You got any? Or you think they're just people just saying stuff like that?
I think there are a number of Democrats who are unhappy with Obama, want to see something different out of him, some kind of change. There's some people who want to primary Obama. Hillary won't do it. She said, no way,
good
never. I'm not running for president ever again. I don't care what the field looks
I'm
like.
I'm never wearing a pantsuit again. Yeah,
but,
I heard her say that.
Yeah, maybe it'll happen. I mean, never say never, but I think most of the talk is coming from Democrats who want to see some kind of significant change.
What about the race in Albuquerque, CD1,
yep.
Both Republicans and Democrats? Give us a little of your thoughts about who's making hay now and who's falling backwards.
It's a pretty interesting race on the Republican side for its lack of a candidate that the party is willing to get around. The Republican Party, the minority party in the state, is used to zeroing in on the candidate who's the most electable or the favorite, you know, whatever.
They've had that
candidate,
and
there's no doing that up there. They're still waiting to see if John Burrell is going to get in. Even if he does get in, it's not clear that they want him.
Well, you know, they had that office for a long time with Manuel Lujan.
Heather Wilson.
And then, well, he was the long one.
Right. Yeah.
And then she came in for, 10 years? So they've it was almost like the length of time Skeen held CD2, Congressional District 2. If you were trying to say who has the inside track, is there anyone on either the Democrats or the Republican side with an inside track?
You know, I think right now the Democratic field is much more interesting. And whoever wins that primary has the advantage simply because Republicans are so unexcited about their candidates. But there's another thing going on that I think sort of points at why this race is sort of lackluster right now. There were 30,000 new registered Obama voters in 2008. That district was remade. Heather Wilson made it look more moderate than it really was. And then all these new voters came in, and it's not. We're used in New Mexico. We're used to that being one of the top House races in the country, one of the most contested districts. I'm not sure going forward it's going to be.
You don't now.
Which
it's not
way
an
do you
automatic,
think it's going to lean then?
I think it leans left.
Okay.
By the numbers, it certainly leans left, and it's very interesting. Eric Griego, state senator, who is one of the most unabashedly progressive members of the legislature. When he announced that he was running for the seat, I didn't expect too much from him. He has run a surprisingly disciplined campaign. He has built a number of endorsements. He's raised a credible amount of money. He's not the front runner, but
who is?
There isn't one. Marty Chavez is so unliked by so many people.
Yeah.
That it's not clear that it's him. Michelle Lujan Grisham ran for it and lost before, then ran for county commission. She does have a base of support. So does Marty. So does Eric Griego. It's a three-way primary anybody could win. So that's interesting to me.
You know, with Martin Chavez, they say that your friends come and go, your enemies accumulate.
Yep. And he was the Albuquerque mayor for a long time.
Ran deficits towards the end of his administration.
So he actually
big
has
ones.
Accumulated on both the Republican and the Democrat side some people that don't like him.
And on the flip side, the other interesting thing about him is he was mayor for so long, and he was viewed as good to the business community. There's some potential Republican money that would go to Republican primary candidates that he will pull in instead being in this race.
So what about Janice Arnold-Jones and Dan Lewis? Why isn't it? Yeah, she was 8 years in the legislature. Why not Janice Arnold-Jones?
The Republican Party, for some reason, does not take her seriously as a party. There are certainly – she has – some of the most loyal followers I've ever seen, but it hasn't been enough in the past to propel her beyond the state house. And she has a chance in this primary. I think every candidate in this race on both sides has a chance right now. Dan Lewis, the interesting thing about him is Republicans know it's a moderate district or maybe even a left leaning district. If you put up Eric Griego against Dan Lewis, progressive versus Tea Party and religious conservative. Nobody knows how that's going to come out. If you put up a moderate like Marty Chavez against religious conservative Tea Party guy, I think they think Marty Chavez probably has the advantage. So that's Dan Lewis's stumbling block. He's raised a good amount of money. He is a very credible candidate, but the party has hesitated to fully get behind him.
Now, Gary King has been criticizing you, Heath, because of the way you're always buddying up to Diana Duran.
Right.
And that is very much in evidence with your column about Diana Duran this morning.
And her snarkiness.
Yeah, so
I'm very smart.
But you wrote another column about Gary King and his collection on Medicaid fraud. We got to talk about that.
Yeah, boy, he's doing
a great
job.
You're picking on this guy.
Yeah, you and
I just reported what somebody else reported.
We're talking with Heath Houselman. We'll have more with Heath when we come back. We are News New Mexico.
This is Congressman Steve Pierce. If you want to learn more about what Congress is doing to create jobs and cut spending in Washington, then I invite you to my website, pierce.house.gov. That's pierce.house.gov. That's where you can easily correspond directly with our office, get help with a federal agency, apply for a passport, or find out the next location of a town hall meeting. If you have a specific veterans or health care issue, our office handles cases like yours every day, and we might be able to help through a process called casework. We can't promise the outcome, but we will fight for you. Just telephone 1-855-4-PIERCE. We're serving the people of Southern New Mexico effectively and efficiently through our website and toll-free hotline. I hope you will take advantage of these services, pierce.house.gov. We also report our daily activities on Facebook, so you can always be up to date with what we're doing to impact lives here in Southeast New Mexico. Thank you.
Paid for by official funds authorized by the House of Representatives.
Live racing is back and better than ever at Summit Park Racetrack and Casino. Be there as the 2011-2012 live thoroughbred and quarter horse racing season takes off on Tuesday, December 6th.
Post time is 12:25 p.m.
Yeah. Watch these amazing athletes compete in the 53rd season of live racing every Tuesday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Summit Park Racetrack and Casino supports responsible gaming. For help, call 1-800-572-1142.
And don't miss your chance to win one of two brand new His and Hers Jeep Compasses during our Jeepers Keepers Jeep Compass Giveaway.
See Club Fiesta for complete game rules.
Drawings are every Wednesday on the half hour from 11 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. and again from 7 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. Plus, during Rudolph's Riches, you can walk away with a big chunk of our amazing $60,000 cash giveaway. Drawings for $1,000, $2,000, and $5,000 are every Thursday. Take I-10 to Sunland Park, exit 13.
All right, we're in break. Is this mic on? Yeah, I think it's on. Okay, well, we're on the break, and Jim Spence is here, and we're talking about Charlie Munger, and we're talking about... Well, when human beings are doing well over short and intermediate periods of time, there can be over-optimism as a human tendency.
Yeah, it's a great observation by Charlie Munger. This is a guy who basically calls himself an amateur psychologist, but he's actually one of the most brilliant thinkers that I know of. This is a guy who's in his mid-80s now. He's probably the guy who had the greatest influence on Warren Buffett of anybody on the planet. I think if you ask Buffett, he would tell you that there's nobody who has helped his thinking processes more than Charlie Munger, which that makes him an automatic for me to study in my profession as an investor. What he basically talking about with over-optimism, he says basically when things are going well over short periods of time, you'll see over-optimism. This explains the housing bubble, Michael. This explains investment bankers all levering 35 to 1, borrowing 35 times as much as they have in equity to buy mortgage securities because they're so optimistic that they can make high rates of return on spreads, those sort of things. You see it in the stock market sometimes, these out-of-control, right? You haven't seen it for 10 years, but that's the definition of a rising real estate market. This explains these real estate bubbles where you see literally multiple competing bids on houses for sale.
That don't make sense.
It doesn't make sense. And here we are right now. We're in the middle of this housing crunch, and it's been prolonged maybe two and a half years.
We're throwing stimulus money.
Yeah. And the point being is how did we create the bubble? How did we create a bubble? It all goes back to the human tendency of over-optimism after success comes in a short period of time.
Kids have the craziest ideas about food. Where do they get this stuff? Like eating Brussels sprouts helps you hit home runs. And eating carrots gives you X-ray vision. It's nuts. and I honestly have no idea where my daughter got this notion that broccoli is the official food of professional ballerinas. Kids, the only reason my 4-year-old loves cantaloupe is because he's convinced it comes from the moon.
One small step for man, lots of potassium for mankind.
And the other day when my oldest came up to me and said, Mom, will eating peas and carrots really help me pull off a fakie frontside ollie with a twist? I look him in the eye and say, it can't hurt, honey. It can't hurt.
Moms everywhere are finding creative ways to help their kids eat 5 servings of fruit and vegetables a day. Get ideas, get involved, get going at letsmove.gov. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to News New Mexico, where we are in the business to help New Mexico businesses.
Gentlemen, you can't fight in here. This is the war room.
Dr. Strangelove, what a great movie. What we are movie. News New Mexico, Tuesday, November 29th, talking with Heath Houseman. It's nmpolitics.net. Heath, have you seen Dr. Strangelove?
No.
All right.
You need to get it. I'll give you a copy. It's fantastic.
All right. We're going to have to politically, you got to see
Peter
this.
Sellers plays like 6 different roles in it. That's great.
Yeah, Slim Pickens is a great role.
All right, so let's try this on. Gary King is trying to work the Solyndra model for recovering Medicaid fraud money. What do you think?
He's not recovering Medicaid fraud money.
That's what Solyndra did.
We're spending more money to recover it than we're recovering.
Yeah.
Twice as much almost.
Why is that happening?
That's a good question. The average, I think, this is according to an Albuquerque Journal article, the average by state is recovering $10 for every dollar spent.
Yeah.
The best state, I think, was Missouri, if my memory serves me correctly.
Exactly right.
Recovering $31 for every dollar spent, and we're recovering 50-something cents for every dollar we spent.
Yeah. Thank goodness for Alaska. You know why it costs them so much to recover Medicaid fraud in Alaska is because
dog feed
they
got to
go after these people by dog sled,
yeah, dog feed,
caribou back, that kind of thing.
I knew it was
in 2010. They're the only state worse than us.
Yeah,
and so
they're kind of like the Mississippi of Medicaid fraud collection.
Well, let me ask this question, Heath. Yeah. They say in Hollywood that the only thing worse than them saying something bad about somebody is not talking about them at all.
Right.
Now,
that's not
you have
true.
Not written a word about James Lewis.
Yeah. Right.
Not a word.
And he will always be reelected as long as he can, because
you've written about Diana Duran and Gary King and some of these people, and you say, which one is better off? Are you helping Gary King by writing about him all the time?
Here's what I would say. Diana Duran did not get elected because voters knew who she was. They knew who Mary Herrera was. They knew she had done something bad. They probably confused her with Rebecca Vigil-Hiron, the Secretary of State before her, who's indicted on 50 felony counts.
Oh, yeah. They're ready to try her one of these
days. They knew that Democrats had the office and had done a bad job, and so we'll vote for the Republicans. So no press is sometimes better than bad press.
So let's shift gears about. We got just a few minutes left. So airstrikes kill 24 Pakistani soldiers.
Yeah.
If that happens under George W. Bush, what do you think the media does?
I think it probably did happen under George W. Bush. This stuff happens in war, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I have a hard time believing in all the years we were at war during the Bush administration that something like that didn't happen.
Yeah, yeah. So,
all right, let me ask the question. You're doing it the hard way, as they say in Las Vegas. You're trying to make your number the hard way.
Right. Yeah.
Media bias. Extreme media bias to the point of lying. Is that the world we live in now?
Who's lying?
The media. They are purposefully at times for their side.
You mean like what's the big deal about pepper spray? It's just a food product?
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Yeah.
No, and I'll tell you, to take a shot on the flip side, I don't watch cable news generally. Let me say that. But I watched MSNBC the other day for the first time in months, and apparently they've been running these promos during the commercials for months where hosts attack Republicans.
Yeah?
MSNBC didn't used to be that openly liberally biased.
Yeah.
I mean.
There are five viewers demanded it. Well, the five of them that actually.
Here's what I would say. I don't think it often goes so far as to lie. What a lot of this consumer-driven corporate mass media is doing on the left and right is spinning the way politicians spin, which is not what the media should be doing.
Well, you know, they had a release of other emails and stuff from the global warming gate.
Mm-hmm.
Have you been staying with that?
Not as much as you, I'm sure.
Yeah. Well, we have to defend our denier status, you know.
Right.
Yeah. Hey, listen.
Right.
All right, so here's a question for you. Chris Matthews the other day said basically that that Romney was very vulnerable because there was a left bias in the media that would really go after him. Yeah. Now, I'm assuming that he wasn't talking about Fox News when he said there was a left bias.
No.
What do you think of the emergence of Fox News? Doesn't really Fox News emergence illustrate the media bias because there's such a big market for the right bias as well as the left bias?
There's a big market for both.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the fracturing of media in this country, which was brought on by cable and the internet, means you watch the kind of news that upholds your worldview, not most Americans aren't choosing something that's unbiased. They're choosing something that upholds their biases. So whether it's the left or the right, that's what we're getting today.
Remember, Chris Matthews had a little statement about that he had gotten frustrated.
Oh, yeah.
Have you got that clip?
Yeah, that's pretty wild clip.
That's a wild clip.
Did you hear that? That was making the rounds.
No, I don't watch MSNBC, remember?
Chris Matthews, of a sudden, it's like too much coffee, not enough coffee, too much vitamin A. I don't know what it was.
Yeah, something got into the water with him.
Yeah, he was. He just also
let me look around and see if
launched
I can find that.
About Obama. All the things that Obama had not done.
Yeah.
Because
we were talking about this earlier with the Joe Biden thing, with maybe Hillary should primary him. There's a lot of people on the left who are upset with Obama.
Yeah. I can't find it.
You can't find it. Oh, it's a great thing. But what Chris Matthews said is he has no legacy. He doesn't have Peace Corps or go to the moon or anything.
Well, I think more than that, what he was basically saying is that the Obama administration is not contacting people on Capitol Hill. There's no dialogue. He said basically that he's surrounded by a bunch of little kids with propeller caps, and that their idea of running a campaign was sending out emails and tweets.
It got him elected.
Yeah.
All right.
Easily.
Yeah.
So,
but Chris Matthews was obviously frustrated with that.
Yeah.
So,
do you get that feeling sometimes? Because you can count the seconds between when you've offended, and they cut you off all of the normal.
It happens.
Do you have anyone you haven't done that to?
I still get a lot of news releases in my email every day. So I guess
still somebody you haven't offended. Well. Yeah, because I think we offend everyone, too, so it's just
you
standard.
Do.
What do you got working this next week? We got about 30 seconds.
Well, I frankly am sorry to think about the legislative session. It's coming up after the holidays, but this is a period where people don't pay attention to politics as much. They're shopping, they're getting ready for Christmas. This is, if there is any downtime, this is it. The Republican primary is coming up. The presidential primary is going to start while most of us are on Christmas or winter
vacation.
And none
of us can vote. We're all independents.
We won't. Right.
So you think,
and in New Mexico, the Republican primary doesn't matter because it's back in June and it's well settled before then.
So when it's all said and done, who's going to emerge out of the Republican pack?
I don't know. I think Romney is likely, but not certain.
Yeah. It's hard to call.
Yeah. Heath Houseman, NMPolitics.net. Thank you so much for what you do. You certainly do entertain us, and we're glad to talk to you.
I'm glad. Thanks for having me on the show.
We are News New Mexico. You can go to newsnm.com and follow along. Thanks for being with us.